bankers all are leaving. You better come round and see. It's startling revelation. They robbed the nation blind. They're all down at the station. No banker left behind. No banker, no banker, no banker could I find. They were all down at the station. No banker left behind. House they went one day. They was going to call on the president in a quiet and a sociable way. And the afternoon was sunny and the weather it was fine. They counted out our money and no banker was left behind. No banker, no banker, no banker could I find. They were all down at the White House. No banker was left behind. Tune. The conductor's calling all aboard, we'll be leaving soon. With champagne and shrimp cocktails, and that's not all you find. There's a $1 billion bonus and no banker left behind. No banker, no banker, no banker could I find. When the train pulled out next morning, no banker was left behind. No banker, no banker, no banker could I find. When the train pulled out next morning, old banker was left behind. Hallelujah, man.
Thanks for returning to Great Speeches and Interviews on Access Sacramento and The Voice. I'm Steve Lerman. If you're just joining us, we're listening to the UN Should Admit Palestine as a Full Member State debate. You can hear this program at 96.5 FM, or you can listen to it at accesssacramento.org, or you can download it from greatspeechesandinterviews.blogspot.com.
So our motion is the UN should admit Palestine as a full member state. Keep in mind how you voted at the beginning of the evening, because we're going to ask you to vote again at the end of the evening. And the team that has changed the most of your views on this motion will be declared our winner. So now on to round two. And this is where the debaters address one another directly and answer questions from you in the audience and from me. We have two teams of two. We have Mustafa Barghouti and Daniel Levy, who have been arguing that the UN should admit Palestine as a full member state. For several reasons, including the fact that it introduces hope to the Palestinian people and that hope militates against violence. Also, that in a peace process that is going nowhere, that is stuck, it lays down a marker that the Israelis cannot ignore. The team arguing against the motion, they include Dori Gold and Aaron David Miller, are arguing against this motion on the grounds, number one, that what exists now in the territory controlled by the Palestinian Authority doesn't really meet the qualifications of a state, that it can't control its borders, it can't control its guns. guns. And they're also arguing that it is too soon to give up on negotiation itself. So we're going to take questions from you. But first, for me, I want to put a question to the side arguing against the motion. And I think, Dory, this may have been where you were heading. I want to understand why admission of Palestine to the UN necessarily precludes the continuation of negotiations. Why can't there be this admission to the UN and yet negotiations continue and ultimately a solution reached?
I mentioned that point already, which is, of course, that these are issues that have to be negotiated. You know, for example, one of the hard choices that Mahmoud Abbas has to face is announcing it's the end of the conflict by going to the UN, getting a Palestinian state. He doesn't have to do that. He doesn't have to come to terms with the question that we keep raising. We're being asked, recognize the rights of the Palestinians to an independent state. But we're asking the Palestinians to recognize the rights of the Jewish people to a nation state of their own. That has to be in the package.
But in fact, they're...
But how are you recognizing the Palestinian state when you refuse to go back to 67 borders?
Because the borders have nothing to do with the existence of a state.
The state will be up in the air on no borders?
No, we have to work out the borders. We have real problems. You know, everyone said, oh, just get out of the Gaza Strip unilaterally in 2005. You won't have a full peace agreement because we didn't negotiate. Get out unilaterally, and the situation will stabilize.
Sorry, no one said that. That was the initiative of the Israeli Prime Minister.
Daniel Levy.
Gaza is 6% of the land mass of the remaining 22% of mandatory Palestine that we're talking about in a two-state solution. No one was saying, end the occupation in 6%, maintain and entrench the occupation in 94%, and see how that goes.
Wouldn't you expect,
Dory Gold,
wouldn't you expect that if you get out of a given territory, that the level of violence from that territory would decline? Maybe it would go up elsewhere.
Dory, excuse me. I don't feel that you answered my question.
Okay.
Although you said that you had addressed it, my question is, you just talked about what's left to be negotiated. Let's take borders for an example. Why not do this political gesture at the UN for the Palestinians? Why would that preclude then having discussions on the borders afterwards? In other words, you were saying this stops everything, and I'm trying to understand why this would stop everything and these negotiations could not continue on those points afterwards.
Well, what if the very resolution itself states that the borders will be the June 4th lines? Is the Palestinian side willing to relinquish that phraseology from a Security Council resolution?
Mustafa Barghouti.
I think there are four issues for negotiations. There is settlements, there is the borders, there is the issue of refugees, there is the issue of Jerusalem. Nobody said that admitting us to the UN will mean that we will not negotiate about all these issues.
Okay, that's the point I'm trying to come back to.
And one final
point, Dory,
please.
I'm trying to understand why you say that
can't happen.
It's
very dangerous to say we accept Palestinians that they should have a state, but we don't agree with 67 borders, because what that means is that you want us to have a Bantustan, like was in South Africa. There were also Bantustans in South Africa with kings, not only presidents. But that did not mean that people were free. They were subjected to discrimination and apartheid system.
Let me bring in David Miller.
We're getting away from some very basic issues here. Admission to the UN and recognition would conflate with acknowledgement of sovereignty. Legally, that may not be the case, but that is the way it would be read. That is the way a Palestinian authority would interpret it. And presumably, that is the way the international community might interpret it as well. Second, you have a divided Palestinian polity. And let's not forget this point, because it's fundamental to the entire argument. You're not dealing here with a negotiation which consists of one gun, one authority, and one negotiating position. The notion that you would admit, as a member state, a divided Palestinian polity, half of which has not even signed up to the conditions that are essentially basic to a negotiation.
Okay, let me bring this to Daniel. He's made two very strong pragmatic arguments. Daniel Levy.
That's what we will show. Please go ahead.
Daniel
Levy.
Aaron, given that you've told us that it has to get worse before it gets worse, I'm not sure, and this isn't easy because this is probably obvious to everyone in this room, me and Aaron aren't exactly hostile when it comes to one another. There's deep mutual appreciation, and I greatly respect the service that Dory Gold has given to the state of Israel. I want to address the two points you put out there. First of all, what we've tried to make the point of is that if you want a two-state solution, you have to do something about it, and you have to begin to anchor it, and you have to send signals. No one is expecting that the morning after admission of Palestine to the UN, Palestine actually realizes its sovereignty. Your second point, the divided Palestinian authority. First of all, Aaron, You didn't get it exactly right in your description of who takes, who assumes that Palestinian seat at the UN. It's not the Palestinian Authority, it's the PLO, and that has been clarified and made clear. And I would look at this as, how do we use this opportunity? How does this become an entry point to problem solving rather than rejecting it as another non-starter?
All right, let me come back.
I want to finish the point. My entry point for this as a problem solver is, I would turn around and say, Palestine, you're in the UN, you signed the UN Charter, read the words of the UN Charter. Hamas, you want reconciliation, you have to be signing up to the UN Charter as well. I would make this part of the encouragement of internal Palestinian unity and see the opportunity, not always the threat.
Story Gold.
Daniel Levy mentions the UN Charter, and you know, one of the most important points in this discussion to keep in mind is, sorry to be legal, but Article 4 of the Charter, which says membership in the United Nations is open to all other peace-loving states which accept the obligations contained in the present charter. Peace-loving states. Why is that important? Mustafa Barghouti has invoked the names of Martin Luther King. I don't know if he said Gandhi, but...
I said Gandhi and Mandela.
And Mandela. Men who were against violence. If only
Me
the
too.
Palestinian
By
political
the way.
Culture had adopted those positions. But... Frankly, just now, on December 22nd, in a meeting in Cairo, and I'm not sure whether you were there or not.
I was.
Yes, okay. I don't want to get it personal, but there was a meeting of the Palestinian leadership that included Khalid Mashal, the head of Hamas. It included the heads of Islamic Jihad. These are organizations that call for the obliteration of the State of Israel. So how do you square the circle of invoking to an American audience names like Martin Luther King, and then going to an event in Cairo with the leaders of Islamic Jihad, which is a wing of the Pasdaran of Iran, of sitting with the Hamas leadership, while they, after your meeting with them, are quoted in El Hayat in the Arabic press, still calling for armed struggle against the State of Israel?
Over the time span of 14 months, 10 men gave their lives for liberty and freedom, imprisoned without, with crime or without trial. Give Ireland back to the Irish. Don't make them have to take it away. Give Ireland back to the Irish. Make Ireland Irish today. Give Ireland back to the Irish. Don't make them have to take it away. Give Ireland back to the Irish. Make Ireland Irish today. Great Britain, you are horrendous. And nobody knows like me. But really, what are you doing in the land across the sea? Tell me, how would you like it if on your way to work you were stopped by Irish soldiers? Would you lie down, do nothing? Would you give in to those men? Give Ireland back to the Irish. Don't make them have to take it away. Give Ireland back to the Irish. And make Ireland Irish today. Great Britain and all the people, they say that all people must be free. And meanwhile, up in Belfast, there's a man who looks like me. And he dreams of God and country, and he's feeling really bad. And he's trapped inside a prison. Should he lie down, do nothing? Should he give in to those men? Give Ireland back to the Irish. Don't let them have to take it away. Give Ireland back to the Irish. And make Ireland Irish today. Give Ireland back to the Irish. Don't make them have to take it away. Give Ireland back to the Irish. And make Ireland Irish today. Give Ireland back to the Irish. Don't make them have to take it away. Give Ireland back to the Irish. make Ireland Irish today.
And now, back to the debate. The UN should admit Palestine as a full member state.
Mustafa Barghouti. Dori, I want to ask you about the policy of Israel. Israel is the third largest military exporter in the world.
Exporter?
Yes. Israel is now, has, you know, hundreds of nuclear heads. So when you speak about peace and you speak about nonviolence, you might as well think of how Israel itself should stop using violence.
Now, there's a good point that I would like to hear the answer to, and I think the audience as well. If, in fact, it's very simple. If Hamas is part of the state, and the UN is an organization devoted to peace, can you please reconcile those two things? It's a pretty obvious question.
There are two major important developments that have happened thanks to our work, thanks to our advocacy of nonviolence, which is that I know there are several statements, and you could pick up the bad ones, but the official position now of Hamas is to accept nonviolence. This is a big achievement, and you should be happy about it. If people change positively, you should not get angry. Also, they are accepting 67 borders. When you speak about the Palestinian Authority being incapable of controlling the security, of course, because it's under occupation. We are the first people in the human history who are asked to provide protection to their occupiers without being able to defend themselves from the occupiers. That makes no sense.
I'm John Donvan, and you're listening to Intelligence Squared U.S., Oxford-style debating on America's shores. Stay with us. All right, we are in the question and answer section of this Intelligence Squared U.S. debate. I'm John Donvan, your moderator. We have four debaters, two teams of two, arguing out this motion, the U.N. should admit Palestine as a full member state. And on to another question. Very center, dark sweater, yep.
Hi, thank you. I want to address this to Daniel Levy. The point that Mr. Miller made about how can they control the guns, you're saying that the PLO will be the one to take the seat at the UN Council. How will then they control the guns if there's division within the Palestinian people?
You mean how do they control the guns in Gaza?
Right.
Daniel Levy.
Yeah, I mean, as I've said, there are two ways of coming at this. First of all, call me curmudgeonly pessimist, but I don't think the morning after Palestine's admitted to the UN, Israel is going to say, game's up, we're withdrawing to the 67 lines now. So in practical terms, you know, I believe that this is about what signals do we send. What I do think is you should be encouraging realistic terms for Palestinian reconciliation, for one authority with one gun. And I think part of the blend of how you do that could be using the very admission of Palestine to the UN, the very signing of that UN charter to hold Hamas to a certain standard on violence. Personally, I think the three quartet conditions were not a good idea. The violence one was.
Dori Gold, do you think that's what would happen?
Unfortunately, Hamas, and this is hard for us to understand this in the West, is a rigidly ideological organization. You know, in 2006, Hamas won the Palestinian elections, not just in Gaza Strip, but also in the West Bank. And Mahmoud Azahar, who had become the Hamas foreign minister, was asked by a Western correspondent, are you willing to change the Hamas charter from 1988? Which, by the way, does not call just for the destruction of Israel. It calls for the murder of Jews. It's a genocidal document, and I have to use that language because that's what it is. And you know what Azahar responded in 2006? Not a single word. Hamas, from 2006 until our conflict with them in 2008, 2009, didn't move.
Okay. So your answer is no, that wouldn't happen.
Unfortunately, that seems to be the case.
Your partner wants to bring in a point.
Daniel's response question, to me, is an indication of the fundamental problem. Your response to this young woman is simply not rigorously thought through. You're assuming that we can
Help me with my lack of rigorous thinking.
I'm out of that business. I'm not here to help you think creatively. But you are defending a proposition that will, in effect, set into motion a set of consequences over which you will have absolutely no control. This is the fundamental problem. Just because negotiations are stuck, and I'm the first person to acknowledge just how stuck they really are, doesn't mean that in an effort to maintain hope, to diffuse desperation, and to accommodate some measure of urgency, we need to pursue an idea that I would argue to you, and you've, in my judgment, failed to demonstrate where the real upsides are. The downsides are very, very real. In July of 2000, we decided to recommend to Bill Clinton to go to Camp David to try to create a conflict-ending solution between Israelis and Palestinians. Do you realize that a dozen years after that summit, we are still paying for the lack of wisdom and the recklessness of that decision? Israelis and Palestinians have not yet recovered from the trauma of those 10 years because we believed in an effort to do something. This notion is reckless, and it's not
Daniel,
well thought
Daniel
through.
Daniel Levy, to respond briefly
with
to that.
With all due respect, Darren, to American omnipotence, I think we can allow Israelis and Palestinians just a little bit of agency for what's happened.
They can have all the agency
just for what's happened
want,
in the last dozen years. And I'm sorry, Aaron, what you have failed to demonstrate is what is the negative impact of having two states at the UN. What have you said?
You have said
that it might lead to more settlements. You know what? If the Israeli goal is to make this territory indivisible, let's start dealing with that reality. I don't want to go there.
Daniel,
you've said it would undermine negotiations. Negotiations have gone nowhere. You're the one who wrote that it was America acting as Israel's lawyer that undermined that very Camp David effort that you just reminded us about. So come on, give us a constructive proposal to move forward, because we've explained why this helps and you haven't explained why it doesn't.
On the aisle here, could you stand, yeah, please? Thank you.
Quick yes or no question for Daniel Levy. Is it fair for the Israelis and the international community to expect that in return for what you support, a membership in the UN, that Hamas will say publicly and clearly and consistently that they disavow violence in an armed struggle against Israel? Yes or no?
Daniel Levy. Do you want to concede to Mustafa on that, or do you want to take it? Or
look,
share?
I do not think that the Palestinian right to self-determination and therefore, by extension, Palestinian membership at the UN should be contingent on that. What I do think, and I made clear here tonight, I do not think that. I don't think that Israel's right to self-determination should be contingent on certain things that I believe Israel should stop doing, okay?
Mustafa.
What I do think is we should use this vis-a-vis Hamas. And I want to make another point here. I don't know if people have noticed, there's something going on in the Middle East. The Muslim Brotherhood, political Islam, of which Hamas is a part, is kind of popular when people get the chance to vote democratically. This is a reality we have to deal with. Now, we can bury our heads in the sand and say there's a charter and you have to stand up and publicly disavow X, Y, or Z, or we can work day in, day out to try and create a new reality that Hamas relates to try and create a new reality that the Muslim Brotherhood relates to work with this new reality in the Middle East. And the more Israel buries its head in the sand and says you have to tick boxes X, Y, and Z before we do anything, the worst we are going to make our predicament.
All right,
it's
Aaron David Miller.
In a negotiation, at least in this negotiation, even if you were admitted as a member state, the logic of your analysis just isn't good enough. You're going to need a monopoly over the organized forces of violence in your society, even to induce the Israelis, or even by extension the Americans.
But isn't that what you praise in the West Bank today?
To help broker a solution.
Aren't you praising the government
Mustafa,
in the West Bank for having done that in the West Bank?
On the four core issues that drive the conflict. You will need one gun, one authority, and one negotiating position.
Isn't that the case
you
today?
You don't have that, and the presumption is that you should be admitted into the United Nations as a full member state without it.
But he's saying that you do have it.
In the West Bank, he's praising it. He's praising Mr. Fayyad.
Helicopter missiles launch, the ground rumbles. Complex shakes just before it crumbles. Children scream and die. Wrong time, wrong place. A woman wears a shawl that hides a scar upon her face. A boy looks through a pool of blood. Prays to see the day when the armies of the infidels will once more go away. And everybody's just waiting for the fall outside the green zone through the machine gun turrets on the other side of the wall. Swelters in the heat. A thousand ghosts are weeping amid the pockmarked street. No food in the market. You can't reap grain that you can't sow. A no man's land, the Red Cross doesn't dare to go. A soldier shoots at everything, acting like the master race. All the while wondering what he's doing in this place, where everybody's just waiting for the fall. Outside the green zone, through the machine gun turrets, on the other side of the wall. We'll be right back. lie. The torturers are torturing in a prison cell, flushing Korans down the toilet, saying all praise be to Shell. And everybody's just waiting for the fall outside the green zone, through the machine gun turrets on the other side of the wall.
Now for something completely different.